I'm Allison Kulo.
And I'm Doug Wells. Welcome to Mound Money on KPCW.
On the phone with us now is Utah's new treasurer, Marlo Oakes. Marlo is inviting Utah women to attend the 2021 Hybrid Women in Money Utah Financial Empowerment Conference, which will be held on October 8th. This year's hybrid conference will feature expert speakers and exhibitors who will provide valuable information and resources to Utah women on their pathway to financial security and success. Marlo, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us about the Women's Empowerment Conference. Is this something that's been going on for a while, and what's the goal of it, and what makes this year special?
Yeah, so it has been going on for a few years now, and one of the things that makes it unique is that it is focused specifically on women and money issues that are important to women, and it's important that women have their own place to go to talk about issues related to money. So, you know, women hold a lot of the money in the United States. They control $14 trillion of personal wealth in the United States. They tend to outlive their spouses. If they are married, they tend to live about 5 years longer. So, they control a lot of the spending in households. And so it's a very important issue that women face. And a lot of times it is an intimidating subject, even for men. But women feel a special need, I think, for this kind of information. So it's really exciting to be able to offer this for women across the state.
Knowing that it's not necessarily because they live 5 years longer, but because they control, as you said, $14 trillion, what types of programs and sessions are occurring at the conference that are really, addressing, what women need to know?
Yeah, so there's everything from investing fundamentals and getting into maybe a little bit more detail on investing. That's one area, in my professional life, before I became treasurer, I worked on retirement portfolios at a large company, and women tend to invest more conservatively than men do. Which it's that safety kind of mindset, but really, if you think about retirement, one of the biggest risks is not having enough, and are you taking enough risk, right, in your portfolio? And so we have sessions on investing. There are Social Security sessions about, dealing with Social Security and how to prepare for that. There are sessions on your own business and creating your own business. Insurance is a big issue, and it's a complicated issue and one that has a lot of different components to it. So we have sessions on that. So there's just a lot of great information, regardless of what stage a woman is in her life, that will be applicable.
And in high level, tell us about the presenters. Is this a women teaching women event, or what's the format?
Yeah, it is primarily women teaching women, and it's what I like. One thing that I like about it is that there are concurrent workshops. So in any one given hour, there are four or five different subjects going on. And so people can really kind of go to those topics that are of most interest to them. And there are a lot of women that are presenting here. So a lot of, great experience, personal experience that women will really be able to relate to, I think. And so it really is a great opportunity to speak with women who have had maybe similar issues that those who are attending are going through. So it's just a wonderful opportunity to get a lot of people together to network and talk.
You had mentioned workshops, and for me, you know, workshops lead to what I've heard about this conference, and that this conference is not dry and boring, and that it's participatory. Can you describe maybe some of the types of conversations people might find that they would have at this conference if they were attending?
Yeah, so you know, it's a lot of the things that people really, I think, latch onto is the networking opportunities, the ability to really kind of get down into the weeds on very specific things that are important to them. So, you know, it may be the loss of a spouse that, you know, you find another woman there that has lost a spouse and all the things related to that, or it may be you know, your husband or, you know, significant other is you know, approaching kind of their later parts of life, and you haven't really been involved in the money. That was my mother's situation, and one reason why she wanted to go is that, you know, my dad has taken care of all the investments and all the money. And, you know, here she is looking at facing some of those decisions on her own now. And suddenly, what do you do, right? Having not had exposure to that. And so it's an opportunity to have one-on-one conversations and then meet people that maybe can be helpful to help in any given situation. So it can be very specific and also very general.
Okay, I want to switch gears here, but before we do, I want to share that Mountain Money has been given a limited number of tickets to share with our audience. And I want the audience to know that if you're interested in free in-person tickets, please email us here. Our email address is mountainmoney@kpcw.org. Marlo, before we switch gears, one way for listeners to attend is to send us that email. How can they find out more? When is it? What does it cost? And where is it being held?
Yeah, so it's being held at the Sheraton in Salt Lake City and virtually on the Event Mobi platform. It is a one-day event on Friday, October 8th, and the time is from 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. The registration fee is $25 for in-person attendance, and there are scholarships available, and you can get more information about the scholarships and the conference at womeninthemoney.org. womeninthemoney.org, and there's no cost to attend virtually, but registration is required. So a lot of different ways to, or a couple of different ways to attend the conference, and all of that information is on the website, womeninthemoney.org.
Okay, and I want to take advantage of the time that we have with you and talk to you about some other issues that are in the news that I think our audience would be interested in your views on as the state treasurer. And the first place I want to start is with the proposed Democrats' tax increase. Obviously, that's done at the federal level. I'm wondering if there's any things that would be triggered here automatically if some of the federal taxes went up. Would that increase any of Utah's revenue sources? Obviously, the infrastructure bill would provide capital into the state. What are some other tangential impacts on the state of Utah of these proposed tax increases?
You know, in the state of Utah, you know, I don't know that there would be a lot of impact on the state specifically, you know, with the tax proposals. So, I really don't.
Is my intuition correct that Utah tends to be a state that's more, that has more shovel, for lack of a better term, shovel-ready infrastructure projects, and we might get at least our fair share and probably more than our fair share of some of that infrastructure spending?
Yeah, you know, there are certainly a lot of needs around our state. I don't know relative to other states how, you know, how we compare, but we do certainly have a lot of potential projects that are you know, ready to move forward on, that we're ready to move forward on, I would say. And so, you know, to the extent that we are given money, it would not be wasted. We'll say that.
Okay. And so that's the infrastructure. And then last week we had in a local finance person that works with the city here to talk to us about the revenues for the city and how that went last year. Obviously, we're a tourist town here in Park City. Unfortunately, there were a lot of tourists. How were the tax revenues for the state of Utah last year? Were they above budget? Were they below budget? And what do you think was the cause for either a positive or negative variance?
Yeah, so everything that I have heard, and I don't get involved in kind of the tax side of things, but where it hits the treasurer's office is when cities and counties take the money that they have collected and they'll invest it in the treasurer's office.
Let you ask the next question.
We have quite a bit of balance there, and so really the cities and counties from everything that I've heard did very well last year, thankfully. So I think there was a big expectation for things to drop off, and they did not, and a lot of that was, you know, people continuing to spend, and we had strong economic growth in the state. I think our state managed and has managed through the pandemic quite successfully, and encouraged people to, particularly early on, encouraged people to support local business and things of that nature. So, so we were fortunate.
So, you know, one thing that I wanted to make my listeners aware of is that you are new to this office. And, you know, we've talked with previous state treasurer David Damshin quite a bit. Tell us about how you came into this role and what your background is.
Yeah. So my background is in finance. I spent the bulk of my career managing large investment portfolios, so institutional investment portfolios, multi-billion dollar portfolios, and then also on the investment banking side. So if you think about a coin, one side of the coin is the buy side, that's investment management, and the other side is the sell side, which is investment banking. And those are really the two components of the treasurer's office. When you think of the treasurer's office, the treasurer manages money for city and counties and other entities around the state. Really, the custodian of public monies is what it says in the Constitution. So money management is very important, but also the treasurer is what I would say the keeper of the credit rating of the state, or the person who oversees the credit rating of the state. And that's a very important and very serious responsibility. We have what I believe is the highest credit rating in the entire world. We are not only AAA, but we are one of the top, if not the top AAA rated state in the country.
I believe the state of Utah's credit rating is actually higher than the U.S. federal government's. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. So
well done. So, well done. And let's let's keep that up.
I really don't know that I can take credit for that. But what I really don't want to have happen is anything to happen to that, right? So there's only one way, and that's down, and we don't want that. And so. And so, you know, my background, I think, to the credit of the state central committee, and this is getting a little bit into the weeds here, but the state central committee is sort of the leadership of the Republican Party, because my predecessor was a Republican. When he stepped down, the Republican leadership had the opportunity to present three names to the governor. So 10 applicants put their names forward. I was one of those 10, And the state Republican Party leadership is scattered throughout the state. And so all of those 184 people had a vote to narrow down or choose the top three candidates to present to the governor. So my wife and I, we actually drove around the state and met with as many state central committee members as we could. We actually traveled to 25 of the 29 counties across the state, and I think that made a big difference.
Well, and it worked, and you may be rethinking your motivation for the job, because I hear all those papers shuffling in the background. So clearly you're very busy. We've got time for one last question, and I want to put a question out there that's back right, hopefully right in the middle of your lane. And that is, you're also the chair of the Utah Council of Financial and Economic Education. What is that group about, and what do you hope to achieve?
Yeah, so that really we get involved in K-12 general financial literacy events like the Women's Conference. There's also something called Utah Saves Week. So a lot of different initiatives and things that help with financial literacy and just helping people to acquire more financial skills. So we hope that we can help people in the state of Utah to be better stewards, so to speak, of their financial resources, because ultimately that helps the state by reducing, you know, needs on the state.
Yeah, very, very important work. We've been speaking with Utah State Treasurer Marlo Oakes. Marlo, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you for listening to Mountain Money. Please leave a review on your podcast app. It would be helpful for us.